listening to the Bug Bucks Podcast, hosted by Eric Bassett and Jake Klaus. Each week, they'll discuss ways to scale and grow your pest control company with a goal of helping you become a bug money millionaire.
And I also knew that I needed to cater to just more time around the house. Before I actually started my company, I would connect and I would go up to random technicians at homes. I would just go and talk to them, how they're enjoying their time, what their processes were like. I honestly probably creeped out a couple bug guys because I was like, hey, my name's Kevin, I'm going to start a company next year. Hey, my name's Kevin, I'm going to start a company next year. Turns out one of those guys I connected with, he's my technician now and he's been absolutely amazing.
Welcome to the Bug Bucks Podcast, a podcast designed to help you become a bug money millionaire. Today's episode is brought to you by Bug Bucks Plus, the number one course designed to help you start and grow your pest control company. I'm your host, Eric Bassett, and of course, I've got Jake, my co-host with me. Jake, what is up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, Eric?
Not too much. Give my usual weather update. I figured out that that's my thing. I'm just the weatherman.
I was going to ask you if you're going to go for the weather again.
it's such a lame go-to. I'm like, oh, well, the weather's great. You know, it's warming up, springtime. I'm so excited for summertime, dude. I can't get over it.
See, the thing about February is that by the time February hits, you're over. It's like, I'm done with it, you know, but it's still rainy and cold here. You know, that's how it goes. Be rainy and cold for next month or two.
It'll be interesting. I'll do a little weather update from our guest today, which I'm going to introduce here in just a second. But before we do that, just want to remind everybody listening, the best way to receive new episodes is by subscribing to our show on your preferred podcast platform like Apple, Google, Audible, or Spotify. If you love the show, please leave us a rating and a review. And one last reminder, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, go to Bug Bucks, that is BUGBUX. We've got over 3,900 other pest control owners in that group waiting to connect with you and share their thoughts. It's also the best way for you to share your feedback on our show and have your questions highlighted and discussed here on the podcast. So make sure you find us on Facebook and join the group. The guest that we have today is a dude that I've been following for a while since he joined the Facebook group. And I've kind of just been like silently stalking him because I think his branding is just 10 out of 10. Without further ado, I want to introduce Kevin Reif. He has 7 years of industry experience from selling door to door all the way to starting his own company, which is Reif Environmental in Charleston, South Carolina. And he is on our show today. Kevin, how are you doing, man?
Good, good. What's up, guys?
Dude, not
glad
much.
To have you on.
Yeah, 60 and sunny here in Charleston.
Oh, okay.
You can keep those updates have said to that. Yourself.
Yeah, forget about the weather updates.
No, it's all good.
That's amazing, man. What is the winter time like in South Carolina? What kind of weather do you guys see over there?
We have a lot of people move here just to be here in the wintertime. It's crazy. A lot of people are moving here from up north, Ohio, Connecticut, New York. It's probably on average around 55 degrees, 60 degrees. During the wintertime, sometimes we'll get into the 30s, but it's cool in the morning, then it warms up in the afternoon. It's not too bad.
What environmental risks are there? Are there like hurricanes, tornadoes? Like, what's the risk?
We have a lot of hurricanes. Hurricane season's like middle of the summer. Yeah, it gets tricky. A lot of rainfall, but really high winds, and sometimes we have to evacuate.
Yeah, that's nuts. So here's the thing that I've discovered. Every time you hear about like this paradise, right? Like Kevin Reif lives in paradise. But the problem with paradise is that typically, there's trouble in paradise, so to speak, you know, weather-wise. You know, it's like, oh, I want to move to Texas. Texas is so great. Well, you know what? I lived in Texas once, and I saw a tornado, you know? So it's like, we don't get tornadoes here. It just rains like 300 days out of the year. So
Kevin, I want to ask if you've always been in Charleston, South Carolina. But before I ask that question, I might as well just a little bit about your background. How did you find yourself in the pest control industry? How did you eventually get to Charleston? What's your story, man?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. So both me and my wife are actually from Georgia, not too far. I had a friend growing up in high school. He told me, he was like, hey man, you should come sell pest control with me this summer. And I had $500 to my name and a beat up 97 4Runner and was like, mom, I'm going to move to Chicago and sell pest control. And she was like, all right, go for it. So I'm super thankful for my parents for I don't know, just believing in me that I could do it. I studied and read sales books for like 6 months before going out there. My first day, I was like the top rookie. And I was like, all right, I'm sold. And the rest is kind of history. I'd helped recruit and lead teams for several years with that company. And it was great. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, the industry, business side of it, but also a lot to do with just sales and recruiting the right talent, which has paid off tremendously with our company. But the main thing is I got to see the nation too. Got to sell in Chicago, Indianapolis, New Jersey, Denver, Atlanta. So I got to also experience different types of pest control and pest systems, and also different types of bugs throughout the nation as well, and the different species. It is just so different. And then moving back down to the Southeast and back home.
So I got a question for you. You've been all over the country doing pest control. How do you feel like your varied and diverse experience in different climates and different parts of the country, how's that helped you be a pest control owner in your market?
Yeah, no, that's a super good question. You know, we dealt with a lot of rodent issues up in New Jersey and a lot of tick issues too. I would say it's very specific based on the area that you're in, based off of what you're going to be preaching to your customers. Our main issue here is what's called a palmetto bug, smoky brown cockroach. So that's not something I was really dealing with out in Denver, but adapting to your area, I think, is the biggest thing that's been helpful for me. Finding that hot button or that hot item for our customers has been huge, and you know, kind of catering it towards that has been fun. So yeah, it was probably, I did several years of the door-to-door, and then we moved here to Charleston coming up on 5 years ago, and it's been home ever since. We're never leaving Charleston. We love living by the water.
What was the main driving decision maker for Charleston when it came to your brand? Was it just you happen to love the area, or was there something else at play?
Yeah, so actually, I took a two-year break from pest control and worked in a different sales job just to raise enough capital. And honestly, during that time, it was raising enough capital. I was like, okay, like I have to do this. We're going to do this. This was when we were living in our previous home here in Charleston. When we moved into this house, I was like, all right, it's go time. So I remember walking into our house one day and just telling my wife, all right, we're going to do this. Telling all my friends like, hey, we're going to do this. And then just watching it like from just a little idea to what it is now has honestly been mine. It's been super, super fun. And how it's been received here in the city has been nothing short of a blessing.
Do you feel like when you had that idea, were you hesitant to say it out loud? Because if you changed your mind, or if it didn't exactly work out, were you afraid of what your wife might think or people might think? Or were you just like, no, I'm just going balls to the walls on this?
I was pretty gung-ho about it. I was pretty excited right off the bat, just because of all the previous years of experience that I had, gave me like that jar of confidence of like, hey, I know that I can do this. I know all the ins and outs of the pest control business that I can do. And honestly, connecting with other people throughout the Facebook group has been people that have had 10 plus years of experience that I can ask questions about and connect with them, because their mature decisions, you know, were playing a huge part in how I was making my decisions. Is just the wisdom. Just honestly, the wisdom of other people gave me the confidence more and more throughout the starting phases. Before I even, you know, really launched our company, I was super confident that it was going to be successful just based off of what everyone was telling me.
It's been awesome watching your brand grow, you know, and it makes me super grateful that you've been able to kind of engage with all these other members of the group, get good information from people. Me and Jake have said this before on the podcast a lot of times, but we didn't have that kind of network when we first started and when we were young in the industry. And so that opportunity is great. In your experience, when you went from being mostly involved with sales, right? That's kind of where you started. That's where me and Jake started too. When you transitioned to building your own brand and being much more involved in the service side of things, what was the first thing that showed up on your radar that was a big challenge for you?
I knew that I needed to hire somebody that was an expert at it. And I also knew that I needed to cater to just more time around the house. Before I actually started my company, I would connect and I would go up to random technicians at homes. I would just go and talk to them, how they're enjoying their time, what their processes were like. I honestly probably creeped out a couple bug guys because I was like, hey, my name's Kevin, I'm going to start a company next year. Turns out one of those guys I connected with, he's my technician now, and he's been absolutely amazing. I mean, he's probably like one letter shy away from being a certified entomologist. He has been in the industry for 8 years. He's been a technician the entire time, and he was actually a manager at his previous company. And so he's been such a blessing for us because he has so much knowledge and wisdom that he's able to bring forward to all of our customers. So I've learned a lot from him, but also just reading up on so many different tech manuals and just asking questions.
I want to acknowledge that. I want to highlight that just for a minute, you know, because there's so many people in the industry that are like, if they don't know, I'll figure it out, or I'll just fake it till I make it, you know, being able to recognize that you know what you don't know, and you know that you need to find someone that knows what you don't know and bring that person into your organization. The humility and wisdom in that move is like, I'm actually kind of blown away by that. That is awesome. Have you always had that same kind of approach to sales and other things you've done in life? Is that Kevin, or is that like honestly, just Kevin the business?
Yeah. I mean, when I got into fly fishing, for example, I just found somebody who was really good at it and just fly fished with them.
Dude, Kevin, you are miles ahead being able to grow and scale things in your life than a lot of entrepreneurs are, specifically because of that mindset. Like what Jake was talking about, entrepreneurs fall into that issue, that trap a lot. Where, you know, they're like, okay, I'm going to jump into this thing. It's new, it's scary, it's big, it's bold, but it's all on me. Like, I'm going to do it and I'm going to figure out all the details. And they just burn so much time and spin their wheels trying to become the expert. And you're like, hey, I'm good at networking with people. I'm good at connecting with people. That's what my strength is. I can use that strength to network and connect with other people that can bring those things into my business that I'm not the best at. And dude, having that at the head of a business is such a good recipe for success. Such a good one, dude.
Here's another thing. And Eric, I'm like directing this to you, but Kevin, this is also for, you know, for you too. But I think that Kevin's mindset in that area really speaks to the abundance mindset that you see in this new generation of pest control owners. And we talk about this from time to time, but it used to be that among pest control companies, it was like, oh, I've got my secret sauce. You know, I can't share my secret recipe. I can't share my secrets of my business with other people. And what we're seeing is, and maybe it's because a lot of the quote unquote older generation was raised not on social media and not on sharing, you know, social sharing sites. But there's like the new generation of pest control owners, there's not that I got to protect my little secret sauce thing. There's definitely an abundance mentality. What I've noticed among a lot of the newer PCOs that are coming up is that if I have something that you need or that will help you, here it is. I'm not going to withhold it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to try to keep it like a golem protecting his precious, you know, like you'll just share it. Has that been your experience in the industry, or do you feel like you've had to kind of really dig and scrape to get help from PCOs?
Yeah, I mean, pest control owners have been my friends, honestly. Like I can talk to owners in Arizona, Tennessee, Florida, I mean, really all over the country that have so much wisdom and knowledge, or they just want to learn and talk and just talk shop and just say, hey, I'm dealing with this or I'm dealing with that. You know, how should I go about this or that? And so it's super helpful to have those connections and friendships going forward. I'm just super excited to have those relationships. But yeah, we're always learning, you know, all of us are always evolving. And so we might as well all evolve and get better together.
Yep. Oh, dude, that's huge.
When it comes to some of the stuff that you've been reaching out to in the Facebook group and kind of getting help with, you know, what are you guys trying to implement in your business right now? What's kind of been top of mind at Rife Environmental as far as implementing new strategies?
Right now, I would say my main focus is preparing for this upcoming busy season. Topic for all of us. Mentally, just preparing as well. Just setting aside the time each day to have my reading, my devotion, my prepping for the day. So mentally preparing for myself for the day as well, and also for the upcoming season. But of course, you know, changing the oil in the truck, the filters and the foggers for the mosquitoes, stuff like that. And just making sure we have extra batteries. We're just going through all of our line items. But my main focus, like we were talking about earlier, is my strength, which is marketing and sales. That's my main focus right now, is developing our systems for the summer.
So do you go out and sell on your own or do you have a team?
Yeah, we have a couple door-to-door guys that are going through a training process right now. On top of that, Facebook, social media. Social media has been a great thing for us in our business. Like you were saying earlier, Eric, with our brand, we really do work on it. It's actually a clothing company based in Austin, Texas called Howler Brothers. One of their designers over there.
Oh, I know Howler Brothers.
One of their designers did our brand and it's been great. So yeah, just kind of creating that local presence. Cause my main thing is if we are having guys that are going out selling our service, I would like it for already be a familiar logo in town. So it's something that people already recognize so they can see it on multiple different avenues, whether it's online or one of our trucks. So it's more of a talked about subject.
I don't know if this was your guys' intention when you designed your brand, but when I look at it, there's this really comforting sense of nostalgia with the way that your guys' brand speaks to the consumer, I feel
there's a lot of different ways that I wanted for it to portray. One of it was obviously welcoming and homey, but also the Augusta Masters, the professionalism that they have there is top-notch. So that played a little bit of part of it into it as well.
I get a little bit of a surf vibe. Is that intentional or am I misreading
it? You're not misreading it. Yeah. Welcoming.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 It's like fun and cool.
Yeah. Like I'm catching like a little bit of like a young surf hip vibe to it. There's kind of like the professional golf caddy kind of look. And then almost like a mix, like your brand is something that I would see in like an 80s commercial with like just the real specific, like, oh, the trusted brand, you
know,
good
old boys in white pants.
Yeah. One of those brands that you see, and this is really tough to do, building a brand identity that builds trust almost immediately, right? When somebody sees it and they go, oh, wow, I feel like that's someone I can trust. That is so hard to do. And it's one of the most impactful things that you can do for your brand in a positive way. And you guys seem like you did it kind of right off the bat. Whose idea was it to talk to this clothing designer guy? How'd you guys come up with that? Was it yours?
We connected through mutual friends and I just really liked their style. So he did that. And then the color palette I kind of came up with, my wife, Anna Tate, played a huge part into it as well. And just what's welcoming. I knew I did not want to look like the average bug guy. You know, I did not want to look like the truck with a big bug on the side. Nothing wrong with what they're doing, but I wanted to be completely different. I wanted to stand out. And so the simple design worked out so well for us.
Okay, I got a question for you too. So along those same lines, you mentioned earlier, you want your local people to recognize your brand. You want to be recognized in your community. What other ways do you employ marketing into your strategy to get your brand out there in front of your market?
Yeah, great question. So there's a lot of people here in town that have a bigger influence than I do. You know, they might have 10,000 followers, 15,000, 20,000 followers on Instagram or on their Facebook page.
You're talking pest control companies or just influencers?
And just influencers, people that do tips and tricks or different places to eat out in downtown. They'll give recommendations on places to go, travel tips, so on and so forth. But these people have a very large local presence here in Charleston. And so we've actually partnered with quite a few of these people and we'll exchange a service for promotion. And they have been some of the best customers. And a lot of them have purchased like our mosquito packages during the mosquito time as well. But the main thing is just connecting with these people so they can have, you know, a service like ours, but also we can have a reach like theirs. So it's a beautiful win-win conversation that we have with a small portion of our customers, but some really intentional ones that we've been able to build.
That's awesome. Are you hoping to see that more conversion to customers from those engagements? Or are you really just kind of like wanting to use these social media influencers to promote your brand and just make people see?
They definitely convert customers. Those specific individuals do. They share about our service and people respond back to their story or they find us on Instagram and that's how they get a hold of us.
Leveraging the networking once again, Kevin, my guy.
We're trying our best.
Oh, yeah. It's cool because the way that you talk about it, you're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, there's other people out here that have way more influence than I do. So I just went to them. It's just such an organic idea to you. It's really refreshing to me to talk to somebody who doesn't, you know, in the best way, you don't waste your time with spinning your wheels, right? if there's something outside your wheelhouse, you're like, I'm just going to go figure out someone else who can help me with this and make sure that they see value in the relationship, which is cool. So obviously you're doing some door-to-door, you've got influencers that are helping you guys with generating leads and sales. I would guess, is door-to-door kind of your main acquisition right now, or is it something different?
Believe it or not, it's actually not. Last year was kind of like a test trial. This year will be much more of like a, hey, let's put a little bit more gas on this. Last year, we were really busy just with referrals. And like I was telling you earlier, other people just recommending us from friends of friends. We are just pretty slammed with that.
When did you start?
We started in November of 2022. So we're about a year and 4 months in.
Oh, cool. So would you consider your business to be post-COVID?
Post-COVID for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So you didn't have to deal with the restrictions. Was there a lot of that in South Carolina?
There was, but it wasn't too strict. People were moving here because of strict guidelines in other states. We still have an influx of people that are, you know, they have remote jobs. They moved here to Charleston. I sign up somebody, seems like every day, that's moving here for another state.
No, yeah. I hear about the Carolinas definitely being one of those like hidden gems, like Boise, Idaho used to be 15 years ago. You know, nobody knew about Boise, Idaho. And then Fortune 500 or some magazine did a thing and Boise, Idaho was like in the top three places to live in the country. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, you know, all these people came in, which is great for the economy there. So you're kind of experiencing that same thing there in Charleston.
Very much so.
What's the growth like? Do you guys, did that kind of come into factor in when you were thinking about building the company there? Looking at just how many new people are moving there and building houses and all of that stuff, did that factor in for you?
A little bit, but not really. We were already here whenever people started to really move here. It was really just a blessing. Our timing just worked out with that.
So when it comes to the, obviously you've done a lot of networking to get employees. You said that your first technician was that guy that you talked to, or I say one of your best technicians. Anybody else? Is your wife involved in the business
at
all?
She is, yeah. She's actually more of on the back end scene of things. She helps me out with, I mean, this is going to sound dumb, but I'm not the best with grammar. You know, she'll correct me with like little sentences that I'm posting up on social media, like, hey, you need a comma here. You're posting this thing on your social media or even a page or email for customers. Like, you need to add this or that. So she does a lot of that. Some of the branding stuff as well. Right now we're putting together like our spring uniforms or summer uniforms for me and our technician. And so going through all that, she's a lot of back end decisions. She's actually a full-time first grade teacher and she helps me out with this. So she's power woman. She does it all.
Dude, I feel like you could teach a masterclass on how to have the perfect blend of confidence, humility, and the power of delegation. Because you're so cool. You're like, believe it or not, I'm not the best at this. But guess what? I've got someone who can help me out with that.
Yeah, right? I leverage and delegate.
That's awesome, dude. It's cool that, you know, and obviously Jake knows this and I know this, both of our wives. I mean, so Jake's wife is my sister and she's our business partner. So she's had a huge impact on our business. Yeah, my wife was our office manager for a few years. And it's nice when you guys can kind of share in the work and also the success of the business. You know, I mean, obviously she would love for you to be successful anyway, but it's cool when she can kind of see a little bit of her hard work out there about in your branding and in your customer communications.
It'd be awesome. That's pretty awesome. Have her more full time one day.
Yeah, that'll be sweet.
Do you get more of her in the summertime because she's a school teacher?
She deserves to be in.
Yeah, she's the beach. Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, we love living this close to the beach, so we try to get away to it whenever we can. But come busy season, you know how it is. It's pretty constant.
What's the goal this year for Rife Environmental? What are you guys aiming for? What would make a successful season for you?
I'd honestly like to double the amount of accounts that we put on from last summer. Probably our goal is going to be to maintain, but also put on the same amount that we did last year. So yeah, that's what our goal is for this summer. You know, we're going into this busy season pretty excited, but also feeling very well equipped where we can still spend a quality amount of time around our homes and the homes that we do service, but also still create that margin for new customers. So it's all about creating that margin for that time that you're able and wanting to spend in marketing. So within the next couple of months, we'll most likely hire another technician. So I'm already starting that process of, okay, who do I want to sit down with and who do I want to be on our team? It took me 3 months, roughly, to reconnect with Tristan, our current service professional. So I know finding the right person is so crucial for growing this business. Like we were talking about earlier, delegating for servicing for our homes is huge for the next step for growth for sure. So finding that right person that is going to be perfect for our team, perfect for our customers is the right thing, because I'm not just going to hire anybody.
Oh, that's awesome. So you want to keep your brand stable and have technicians that reflect your vision.
Bingo.
For your business.
Yep. Yeah. So that's my main goal for this summer, is to have that next technician come on board, maintain, and put on the same amount of accounts we did last year.
Love it, dude. And, you know, it sounds like, and rightfully so, you have high expectations and high standards for the people that you allow in your business. You know, you put forth all this effort to build a brand that looks awesome, has the right appeal. It's your guys' little baby. And you can't just let anybody in there and work on
right.
it. Right.
Yeah, really so, high standards. It's kind of like, I wish you guys, maybe you should watch it in April. Watch Augusta National, watch the Masters. And you'll see some high level of professionalism that goes on there. You have members that are picking up trash off the ground. So I always like to be that owner that's picking up trash off the ground. That kind of like servant leadership mentality is really what I like to portray the most.
That'll be cool, dude. Well, it seems like eventually I know that people in your market are going to start connecting the dots between your brand and high quality. And it's hard, like whenever you have an owner or any member of an operational team that just doesn't organically have that sense, you know, like they're kind of a, you know, turn and burn, go through area, put on accounts, lose accounts, you know, do whatever you can just to get whatever little margins there are. And you make up the difference in volume, right? It's just such a messy way of doing business. And you seem like the type of person who is way more on the quality over quantity. And that perspective will take care of the quantity issue eventually. Right.
Yeah. Having those quality customers is what I care so much more about. Those customers that we're just going to take care of them like their family. And we mean it. We're going to shake their hand, give their dog a dog treat. We're going to know their home like it's ours. That's what I've cared about the most since day one. And I know that will translate from not just a year or two from now, but 10 plus years from now, where we'll be able to create that legacy account that's been with us for over 10 years. Because they know us so well. We feel like an extension off of their home, just as far as for their service.
Let me just speak to that. I want to rewind the clock just a little bit. And I have another question for you. But you know, this last September, we hit our 10-year mark. Thank you. It was like a huge milestone for us, right? And so I had our office staff go back and look. And we know when we started the company, I went out and I knocked September and October of 2013, put on the first 150 accounts, serviced them myself. Then the next summer, we had a sales team come in, right? I had my office staff go back and look at what customers out of that original 150 customers, who's still on service 10 years later, right? And so they bring up this list. And as they bring up the list, I'm like, oh, what? Gary Savina? Dude, yeah, he's still on service. That's awesome. Irma Getman, I can't believe it. You know, so we had this one customer, Irma Getman, and she was ancient when I signed her up 10 years ago. And I was totally blown away that she was still alive. So we put together a little 10-year anniversary thank you package. And I called each of them in advance and just had a little conversation with them, say thank you. And hey, we're going to send you out this package. And I called Irma Getman and she said, oh, yeah. Well, Jake, yes, I remember the day that you came and knocked on my door like it was yesterday. And then she in detail described the experience that she had with me signing her up. And then she went on to talk about how much she loves our company. And she's referred us to like a dozen of her family members, you know, and it was like the best feeling. Like it felt like those 10 years had been totally worth it, even if it was just, you know, for that one customer, just for Irma, you know? So I want to rewind the clock just a little bit. I want you to tell me, like, what was one of the biggest challenges that you faced in starting your business, that where you learned something or had to overcome something? And if a new PCO were to come to you and say, Kevin, I'm thinking about starting a pest control company, what should I look out for? What's the nugget that you learned in starting your business that you would impart to a new PCO?
Great question. No, I appreciate you asking. My main challenge that I had was actually during the process of growth. Not expecting to grow that quick when it comes on to the workload and how much time I was going to have to when I was servicing homes as a solo operator. I would say go ahead and buckle down and be ready to be in your truck servicing homes constantly, whether you have new inbound customers that are calling or reoccurring servicing going on as well. You have a lot going on operating phone calls, sales, routing, merchant servicing, the whole nine's going on, everything is going on at once. But the main thing that helped me overcome that goal was kind of what I was talking about earlier, was delegating and finding that technician. And I knew I didn't want to settle for somebody. And I knew the right guy was out there. When I found him, everything was able to change from there. It allowed us to free up the time to be able to focus in on new customers and still spend quality time around the homes. So it was like that light bulb effect. But I'd say go ahead and buckle up and be ready to be putting some hours in the truck. I mean, I was getting home super late there for a few months in a row, it seemed like, when we were in the quick growth phase.
It's not a 9-to-5. No, not a 9-to-5. I love that, though. That's such a key piece of information. Like, number one, you're going to be in the truck 15 hours a day, you know, or 12 or 15 or whatever. You're going to be working really, really long hours. And the other thing that you said there, which I think is just so crucial that maybe people don't recognize right off the bat, you know, you start your own company, you're like, oh, I'm going to do blah, blah. It's me, right? I'm going to do all these things. But it's not. And if you find the right person, when you find the right person, you get them on your team, you delegate, all of a sudden the workload is shared and everybody's on the right seat on the bus, you're clicking along. So that's awesome. That's money in the bank.
Yeah, Kevin, we should have you on the podcast again and just do another episode where we do a little bit of a deeper dive into delegation and kind of what the overall look of your operation is. And I might even just come back to you in about 6 months and just kind of see where you guys are at, because you've got an awesome outlook on things. I know, you know, from experience and from growth I've seen with other people, you know, just with a little bit of a sliver of that kind of power to delegate and network, big things can happen. So I know it's going to be huge. If somebody wanted to follow your journey, where would you send them? Do you guys have an Instagram that you like to send out
there? Check us out on Instagram, Rife Environmental.
Rife Environmental.
Yep. I'm going to follow you right now. As soon as this is over.
It's REI and then F as in Frank, and then the word environmental, all lowercase, all together.
Love it, dude. Perfect.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to follow you. Make sure you accept me.
It's me. I'll follow back.
That's right.
Jake's like, hey, it's me, Jake, from the podcast. Awesome. Kevin, dude, it's been so good. I know that everyone has probably loved listening to you for everything that you've shared today. And for you guys listening, of course, we love that you listened in. If you guys have a coworker, manager, or an owner who you feel would benefit from listening to this episode, the best way to say thank you is to share this episode with them. Of course, it's brought to you by BugBucks Plus, the number one course designed to help you start and grow your pest control company. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, go find the group and join. It's BugBucks, BUGBUX. Lots of information and great connections in that group, just like Kevin was talking about. And of course, thanks again for listening in. Till next time, keep building those pest control companies.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bug Bucks podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please show your support by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating. Thank you, and we'll catch you on next week's episode.